We'll call the meeting to order, and if everyone could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you could do the roll call.
Trustee Davis?
Present.
Trustee Doherty? Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton is absent. Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Lubai?
Here.
Any public participation?
No requests.
Great. Move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have an item they want to move off of it? If not, could get a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Consent agenda passes. With that, Dr. Labasso, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And just want to thank, I know some had some conflicts, but for those that were able to participate in our 62nd, I think it was, commencement, we had it was a great turnout. I think you all agree with the energy that we were feeling from the students and the families. Remember this graduating class of 2022 was also the high school graduating class. And I know we have non-traditional students, so not all, but it was also the graduating high school class of 2020. And we remember what happened to their, final hurrah coming out of high school. So I think you just sense that ability to celebrate and whatnot, and it was nice. So I want to thank the trustees, thank the entire Daytona State College staff and team for everything they do. I see Charlene Latimer there, who was marshaling, and has done that for many years for us. Thank you. And Paul, thank you for adding one more quiz to the graduates' experience in your talk. I think that went over really, really well. Again, it's been very busy. The foundation under Tim Norton had organized a State of the College celebration at the News Journal Center. We had a great turnout, it was an opportunity to get some folks that are not always engaged at the college to come on to the News Journal Center, and it was a good opportunity there. We also had our Palm Coast Songwriters Festival. Gary Lubai, something he's very passionate about, but we hosted, I'm not sure what the final numbers are, but we had a pretty packed house.
Depending on the day, 400 to 500 people.
Yep, and a great way to expose our Palm Coast campus, and it was a great experience. I wore a cowboy hat that day. And
he did. He was all decked out. He's
had the cowboy
one of the
hat.
Best dressed.
It was a good event there. And then we also had, for the first time since 2019, we had our DSC athletic banquet. And again, very exciting time for the athletes. And a funny note was Will Dunn was talking about the residence hall coming online, because obviously a good number of them will be there. And then he mentioned how we won't be there at Whisper Oaks anymore. And the coaches and Tim Norton and that table just exploded with applause, and exciting that they are not going to have to go to Whisper Oaks any longer. So, but that was a great event to recognize, our athletes, academically in the classroom, just second to none. And then obviously on the court, several All-Americans and things like that were celebrated. So it was really, really a great event. And then again, the ribbon cutting, and I know I've got a couple trustees that weren't able to make it, and Sarah and Randy, if you have time, we'd love to shoot you over and take a look at the residence hall there. That went well. The students seemed really, really excited about that. And I believe, last I checked, we only have 3 beds left, and it's with, 100-plus plus on the list that we're just calling down. We're just going down the list and calling. So, Charisse Ramos, wave your hand. Doing an excellent job. Elijah Hauser right next to him. Great job. Our new faces of student life, and they're doing just a great job. I mean, it's an exciting time to be a Falcon, for sure. Go Falcons. I participated in the Hungarian Summit that was here in town, and so there may be some opportunities there. They are interested in possibly a summer language institute, you know, where we'd be able to ramp up our English language program, and they would need a place to stay. So we're in early conversations with them about that. And they are also the ones that donated the tech ball table to us, the tech ball table that was at the ribbon cutting. So they're excited about what we're doing at the college and want to, you know, stay involved. Talked about some study abroad, exchange programs, and things like that. So some nice opportunities coming our way. And this morning, Sarah, I was at the Shingo conference at the ATC, which Shingo apparently is Ireland's version of FAME. So I got to welcome them to the ATC, as well as our FAME students were there. And our FAME numbers, I hear, are doing really quite well. So, Sarah, thanks for your leadership in that, and Dr. Locklear and Dante and that, our crew there. You know, we definitely made an investment. It was a smaller number to start with, but you have to do that. You know, you have to invest, start somewhere, and it really seems like the numbers are growing. So we're excited about that. Representative Federhoff was there this morning as well. She's a big supporter of our vocational technical program. So it was a good crowd this morning. So, yeah, it's a great day to be a Falcon. And, you know, we wrapped up our semester in the spring, and classes started today for summer. So we had a whole day of no classes, and we're right back at it again. So that wraps up my report.
Thank you, Tom. We've always been recognized in Florida and the nation, and now you're out internationally.
Now we're in Ireland.
Ireland and that's right. Hungary. And
yeah, Hungary.
Excellent. Yeah. So, moving on to facilities.
Good afternoon. So our first item today is a request for a release of retainage. That's for Perry McCall for the student housing project. So now that we're at substantial completion, they had, I'm sorry, that's I got out of order here.
That number doesn't look right.
This one's for CPPI, Charles Perry Partners. It's the parking lot, which was phase two of our Flagler Palm Coast project. They, after we had that opening, they actually went out and did a rework of the parking lot area, lighting, and some of those things. So this is for the request for final payment. This is a board action item.
Have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Just one comment. It looks great.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
So that was done in time for the event. So, okay, so yes, the other one is the release of retainage. This is a just an information item only, but it's just to make you aware, and the action item was on the housing board. Any questions? Okay,
great,
that's
thank
it
you.
For me.
As always, things look good around here.
Okay, good afternoon. Today we're going to go over the financial report through April 30th of 2022. We are now 83% of the way through the fiscal year with 2 months remaining. Taking a look at the revenue budget versus actual, you can see we've now collected $24.8 million or 90% of our tuition and fee revenue, $42.2 million or 80% of our state revenues, $4.8 million or 75% of our other revenues, $1.9 million or 100% of the board approved transfers, so that in total we've now collected $73.7 million, right at that 83% mark of our operational budget of $88.6 million. So it's right on track as where we should be. Flipping over to the expense side, our operating expenses in Fund 1, we have now expended $48.9 million, or 73% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $15.6 million, or 82% of our current expense budget, of which $13.3 million are actual expenditures, and the remaining $2.3 million are encumbrances tied to open purchase orders. We've obligated $1.6 million of our capital outlay budget, represents 77%. Of that, $629,000 of actual expenditures, and the remaining $929,000 are tied to open encumbrances. So in total, we've now obligated $66.1 million, or 75% of our total operational budget. And if you peel away the encumbrances, the bottom piece is the actual expenditures represent $62.8 million, or 71% of the budget. So all three categories are under that 83% mark I indicated earlier. So we should wrap up the year in pretty good shape from an expense standpoint. This slide, we show highlights our fund balance in Fund 1. We started the year with $14.9 million, of which 5.2 is the 5% state required reserve, $2.4 million board designated reserve, $7 million unallocated reserve. We had $205,000 of year-end encumbrances that rolled over. And as of April 30th, our net projected fund balance is just over $17 million. Okay, taking a look at year-over-year operating revenue, budget versus actual, you can see, I mentioned earlier, we've collected 83% of our operational budget this year versus 85% at the same time last year. Very consistent, and that's what we traditionally see with the way our income stream comes in from the state and so forth. Okay, this slide shows the three-year tuition and fee analysis. Not much different from last board meeting. I think we, in total, that $24.7 million compared to the prior year at this time of $25.7 million, about a million off, represents about a 3.8% drop in total tuition and fees. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we reported last board meeting. Okay, flipping over to the expenses. This is year-over-year comparison at the same point in time through April 30th. We've expended 73% of our personnel versus 72% last year, 82% obligated on current expenses versus 75% last year, and then 77% obligated through April 30th this year versus 82% last year. So again, even on the expenditure side, very consistent year-over-year. Okay, moving over to the Capital Project Fund in Fund 7. This slide highlights all of the activity in Fund 7 throughout the year, the revenues that have come in and the expenses that have gone out. Recap of that particular activity is the beginning fund balance started the year at $45.4 million. We've collected $5.8 million in revenues. We've expended or encumbered just over $9 million, of which $8.2 million is expended through April 30th, and the remaining $875,000 is encumbered. So the net fund balance through April 30th at this time in Fund 7 is $42.1 million. Of that, $17.23 million is committed, and the remaining approximately $24.9 million uncommitted. This is a recap of our major capital projects. Any project over 100,000 makes this list. As you can see, we have 8 projects. Most of them have been on there the majority of the year. I'll point out the one new one is the master site plan with an expected completion date of January 2023. And we had one project drop off the list and make it to our completed projects list, and that was the high voltage upgrade project. Came in at a total cost of $213,000. And that was actually a budget savings of just over $105,000. It was budgeted at $318,000, so we came in under budget on that project. And that concludes my financial report for April.
Super.
My next item is all payments over $50,000 for the month of April. This includes checks, ACHs, wire transfers. And again, we bring this to the board for informational purposes each board meeting.
Questions for Marty? Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
On to academic, Amy.
Good afternoon. I have two items, one for your approval and one for information. The first is a proposal we've talked about before. That is a new Bachelor of Science in Cardiopulmonary Science. We are, this is the first step in a series of steps of applying with the state and then with our accreditor, but we believe this would be really great for working professionals that would like to move to the bachelor's level. In fact, we believe that's where the standard is going and that most respiratory therapists will need the bachelor's degree.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. We're excited about it. The next item is the textbook list that we bring you every major semester to look at the cost of the high-enrolled gen ed courses. We are you will see more digital rental options. That's becoming more of a thing. And we also include subscription options through Cengage Publisher. This is one publisher that offers students the ability, which we are, you know, advertising to students that they can pay a subscription fee, and then any book in Cengage they can have during that subscription period. And it's not free because they paid the subscription, but no matter what the cost of the books, they have access to it. So, for example, our business programs use a lot of Cengage, so the students are really catching on that you buy the subscription for a year for about $230, and then all the books you use that year will be covered. So it's a great cost savings there. I'll be glad to take any questions.
I just want to say again what a great job you and your team are doing. And we talked about this after the last meeting, Paul, and I think that you lose sight how hard the teachers work at this, and the book publishers would only listen to our educators and not change two words in a couple of chapters, causing a new addition, how much this could save our students money. And hopefully the state legislature at some point can create more of a pressure on that part of the system, supply system. But
I think they have.
Right.
One of the laws that passed this time is going to regulate it more with in terms
really?
Of okay. having us look at open educational resources for high-enrolled courses. And I think they're really pushing in that direction. Not just for us to do things, but, you know, to make those choices more obvious for students.
I was not aware of that. Thank you for sharing that, because that's big, I think.
It is
and,
big.
You know, because it's not that you're not trying.
Right. No, the faculty have been fantastic. They've become very well-versed in all these aspects of what to buy and what you don't really have to buy. The publisher will say, this is such a good deal if you get this, too. And they're getting... We're getting really good at getting those prices down.
Thank you.
All right, constituent heads.
Great. All right. Well, unfortunately, Adrienne is unable to make it today. She had something come up. She couldn't make it. So we're going to move on to Alicia Alexander for Administrative Council. And I don't see Alicia. Okay.
She couldn't make it.
Okay. For career employees, John Penny.
Good afternoon. I wanted to report that we took part in the May the 4th walking event. It was great to be out there and see all the people coming through with the walk. Our popcorn was a huge hit, and we were able to add $75 to our career employee our student awards fund, so we were very excited to have that. We also hosted our first CEA meeting, and we had over 20 in attendance. So again, we were excited at that turnout. There's still some who don't think they're allowed to come to the meetings. We're working hard to get that word out that they do have that freedom to attend. So we expect to have better numbers in the future on that. I'm honored to have my fellow officers with me here today. If you could come up, we have Lee Thornton is our vice president, and Christina Adams is our secretary, and Diana McGee is our treasurer. And I just wanted to bring them up so that you all could put names and faces together, since it's been such a struggling couple years prior to this for the CEA. At this point, we'd like to give out our Employee of the Semester Awards. We have one for the fall and one for the spring, for the same reason that the CAA is down for a little bit during that period. First, we have Samantha Tatum. She single-handedly held together the CEA during the COVID years when all the other officers had either changed classifications or left the college. Without her, I don't know if there even would have been a CEA at this point. So. And we also have Patty Dabney. She also fairly single-handedly kept our student awards going for the semesters while we were going through that process. And when we came on as officers, she already had all the applications ready to go for us, so we could just slide right in, read through the applications, and pick our student awards then. Without her, there would not have been student awards even for this last round. And we are very excited to have her staying with us. Thank you.
Now, before you guys go, just on behalf of the board, thanks for all you guys did to get it, you know, back up and running. And associations like this are important. We'd like to hear from you guys at the meetings, and we appreciate you volunteering, stepping up the plate, and keeping it going during the lean year. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
I do have a text message from Adrienne, and she apologizes for absence, but is excited to begin the summer semester. And for the new start in SGA, they have begun the process of notifying the new officers of elections results and crafting our schedule for summer planning. They are excited to see what possibilities are waiting ahead. So that's the message from Adrian. All right. And I think I see Alicia Alexander is here for administrative counsel. Come on. Yeah, to the microphone, please. Thank you.
Everyone, I'll just take this down.
Yeah,
I'm coming back and my calendar is like all crazy. But anyway, good afternoon. I'm happy to be back at my first admin council report for the board. We had a couple of things going on while I was out on maternity leave. So I want to thank Frank Mercer for taking the lead and kind of stepping in and taking care of business while I was out, and for the rest of the officers too, for Tina and Lisa. They were very helpful while I was out. So we had two things that went on recently in like the past 2 or 3 weeks. One of them was a community service project that was held about two Saturdays ago, and it was for, I think, Hope Rings, sorry, I can't remember right now, but we had a few of the members that went out and brought some rakes and some gloves and helped clean up. It was a community service project for a chosen family. And then next we have coming up is a greeting card signing day. We have them set up at different campuses on different selected times and days, most of them during lunch. I know the one I'll be at is in Flagler Palm Coast. This Wednesday from 2 to 3 or 3 to 4. And basically, we printed out a whole bunch of cards to give out to the Council of Aging is going to help us distribute those to the Meals on Wheels program, so that those folks can get some encouraging words and some warm wishes from us. So Frank Mercer has sent out dates to all the campus presidents. So if you're available to come out, either at your particular campus location or even here, please do. We've sent the notice out to all the constituent presidents. So if you can come out and just sign a couple of cards, just saying, you know, hello, hope you're doing well, things of that nature. So it's just a way for the council to have a diversity of initiatives for us to be seen out in the community, but also having, like we know, our famous 5K to be able to do stuff for our students. So That's what we have now, and I believe our last meeting is in June for the year. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do. Yep.
Thank you. And I'm going to call up out of order because I don't want her to be last, is Billy Joe Dunaway, professional counsel. Sorry, Paul.
That's more than terrific. Professional counsel is going to meet again on Friday. We're going to hold our annual elections. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get rid of me yet. Depends on how you look at it. We got to participate in the May 4th walk, too. I got to hand out ICs, which I called lightsabers, because it was May the 4th. And, you know, okay. Anyhow. It was a lot of fun. It was one of the first kind of in-person events we've had in a while for that kind of for professionals and career employees to come out and walk. It was a really great event. So I like the positiveness of that, and we look forward to future events. And thank you.
Thank you, Billy Joe. And last but not least, for Faculty Senate, Paul Capps.
Is it going to be question and answer?
There may be a short quiz at the conclusion of this.
Okay, so a train leaves Chicago heading east at... Oh, wait. Wrong paper.
Oh, my God.
In August, I will be celebrating 20 years with this institution. And when you're with an institution like this over a period of 20 years, you get to know a whole lot of people a little bit. They may not be in your department or your school. There are other faculty members. They are staff. They are administrators. And one of the great things about working at this institution is they are all, almost to a person, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And you might only see them, you might get to see them a couple times 1 week, and then you might go 2 months and you don't see them, but then you bump into them off campus or on campus, and you just have a warm and wonderful little conversation, and they're always great, and you love them. And when you're with an institution for 20 years, you start hearing about folks retiring. Well, today I bring you one of our folks. I jumped the gun a little bit by accident. I'm sorry. I thought she's not going to retire till January. January. Sorry. When I made the invite, I didn't know the date. But Jen, so we still got her for 6 months, but we won't have her for next year's graduation ceremony. So I would like to present to you Ms. Charlene Latimer, who has been a member of Daytona State College family for the last 29 years, November of 1992. She started the college as a counselor, served as coordinator of counseling and career services for 5 years, and since 2011, she has served as the department chair for the School of Student Life Skills. She teaches SLS 2281, Diversity, Culture, and Communication, and SLS 2301, Career Development Online. She is served on countless committees, but they include Service Learning Committee, Professional Development Steering Committee, and for the Academic Excellence Symposium, and the Cultural Diversity Committee, to name just a few of the many I know. I've served on many of them with her. Her awards include, in 2014, the DSC Presidential Sterling Award for Teaching Excellence. In 2014, the John and Sue Ann Rausch Excellence Award for the League of Innovation. In 2015, the Faculty Member of the Month for October. And in 2017, she was recognized for the NYSOD Excellence Award. So again, without further ado, I'd like to ask Charlene to share just a little bit of her experience here with us over the last 29 years.
How much time do y'all have? First of all, thank you, Paul. And it's really nice to get this recognition from my faculty colleagues. I really appreciate it. As Paul mentioned, I started here in November of 1992 from New York. I came here on a Friday. I started working on a Monday, and I've been working here ever since, and it's been a wonderful experience. And, you know, as you mentioned in there, I always tell students when I talk to them that I've been a member of the Daytona State family for the last 29 years, and it's exactly how it's felt, working in counseling, then moving over into academics, and having so many wonderful opportunities to meet and connect with people around the campus and at all the campuses, because I've worked at every campus except for Flagler. Thank you very much. I don't want to go there in my next 6 months. It's a beautiful campus, though. Beautiful campus. It's a bit of a commute, so that's why. But have worked at almost all the campuses, so had a wonderful opportunity to connect with faculty, staff, and students. And when I see them in the community, when we're going somewhere, my friends say, do all the students know you? Because they'll see me in Publix, hi, places like that. So it's been a beautiful experience. And as Paul mentioned, in January, I will be retiring after 30 years. But it won't be forgotten, because it's been a wonderful experience. And thank you all very much. Thank you.
If I may, Charlene, if you want to stay in front. So this one is tough for me personally. You know, Charlene and I were in the same division when I arrived. So Charlene is actually someone I got to know very well, and we sat side by side for a number of years as colleagues in the student development division. And then we were also classmates in graduate school, and I'll never forget I had daughter duty that day and brought my daughter. We were teaming up to study for some class, and my wife was doing something, so my daughter came with me. She was 2, I think. And so Charlene and I were trying to work on a project, whatever we were doing, and there's my daughter just like, you know, if she's a spunky soccer player, decided to run around Charlene's house and jump on her couch, and I'm like, you know, so I'll never forget that. That day that my daughter was running around your house, she's a fellow DeBarian, so living right in town with us. So, so Charlene, thank you for your friendship and being a great, great colleague, and the impact that you've had here at Daytona State College. You've just been tremendous for this institution. So thank you. That concludes.
Great, thank you. So I have two action items. The first is the president's annual contract, if I could get a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion
passes.
Before
you go on to the next, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I would like to just suggest, I know this year we're doing a one-year, but I know we've been doing one-year contracts for so many years. I would like to suggest maybe next year, because it's really for this year, that we consider doing a multi-year contract as opposed to the 1 year.
Yeah, I concur. I think, as long as it's not in violation of any statute, that I would prefer to see a multi-year agreement.
We will take that under advisement. And Tom, we've said it all last meeting, but you know, we really appreciate all you and your team do. We're glad to have you at the helm, and glad you are with us going forward. So,
thank you. Appreciate the contract, and as you said, it's can't do it without the team. So thank you.
The next item is the approval of the meeting schedule for next year.
Can I mention something? The June 23rd date should be June 22nd.
Okay.
Friendly amendment, June 22nd. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Just a few comments on my front. I want to touch on graduation yet again. It was a great event. I think as Dr. Lobasso said, you could feel the excitement of the pent-up demand. And just a couple things I wanted to comment on. First off, we had multiple trustees, I believe, at every ceremony. And that means a lot. So thanks to all the trustees that were able to make it out. I know we all have busy lives, so I appreciate what you did to find time to come to some of those. Thankfully, whoever put the schedule together put Adrienne as the last speaker, so nobody had to speak after her again. And as always, she represented the students very well. Paul, for those of you that weren't there, did indeed give a quiz at the podium, and it went over great. He graded a little lenient on one question because he asked them if they all loved every assignment and every test, especially the math ones. He said they said yes, but it was iffy, I think. Yeah.
I think the odds were different.
But being a math guy, I like that question. The other thing I just noticed is that, everybody that was involved that day, not the students and their families, because they're obviously excited and happy, but if you looked at, the campus security folks that were there, if you looked at everybody that was up in the room where we sat or where the faculty were in between ceremonies, the people handing out programs at the desks, there was this sense of family and excitement and proud of what they were doing. And it's interesting. I've been to a lot of graduations at a lot of places, and it was nice to see the camaraderie and the vibe, if you will, of everybody that was there. So a job well done to everybody that played a role in that. The residence hall, Tom mentioned that one also, but just, once again, what a great project with a lot of different players. Gary, thanks again for leading up the housing board. It was nice. As I walked out, I was walking across the lawn, and two student-athletes stopped me and just said thanks to the board. And, they are indeed excited to get out of where they are and excited to move into a really nice new building. So thanks to all the board members for all your efforts on that. And the TRIO program. I really enjoyed that presentation today. I don't know if our speakers are still here or not, but that's a great program. Great statistics and, really at the heart of what we do. Taking a population that's probably more at risk than other students, and the success rate that they showed with numbers about graduation and retention and persistence. So I just, applaud them and encourage, continued submission of grants like that. And with that, I will turn it over to Trustee Holness.
Well, Randy and I had the same things down. I won't go back and repeat all your comments, but the commencement was just a wonderful day, and it was just so exciting to see the camaraderie and excitement of the parents. And the staff did a wonderful job. It just flowed so smoothly. And the state of the county, state of the college, excuse me, it's been back to my days at DR. The county. It was just wonderful to see so many people from the community that came out to hear about the things that we're doing. And that little, I talked about, and I meant to bring it with me today, the little flyer, had so much information about what this college is offering to the community. And I made the suggestion, hope you will, that we need to put it out in the community, where we can have a place where it can have, that we need to utilize that both in Volusia and Flagler County. And I said, if you don't have enough, then email to the chambers and ask them to send it to their members. But the residence hall, I think when you cut the ribbon, everyone was making a beeline to get in there, and it was just exciting to see the students and the community people as they went to the rooms and looked. And I'm still amazed that it took them 13 months to get it done, and they did such a beautiful job. So I know even the adult says, I can't go back, but I didn't have a place like this when I was going to school. It was it's such, and you go back and I look at the times that I've been on the board and all the changes that have occurred on this campus. It's just amazing. And so much of the time has been under your leadership, and we thank you. No matter how difficult the challenge is, you always find a way. You just don't say don't. It can't be done. We figure out a way how to get it done with the staff, and it's greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to switch it up so we're not always having the same person go last, and we'll go over to Bob now.
Wow, you're catching me flat-footed. What an exciting day with the residence hall. Again, just to repeat that, it was really wonderful, and being able to tour that and see the excitement. It was like the students were beating us into the building, and, to see their excitement about it was just fantastic. And so wonderful there. And, as we get into the summer, summer classes, for some it won't be any rest this summer. But, I think we all have a hand in the diplomas that were distributed at commencement, and it's a privilege to be a part of that, because the value of that diploma
goes up every single year, and that's pretty exciting to be a part of it. So congratulations to all the graduates, and Tom, good luck on Thursday with the rest of the presidents, right? Isn't that? Okay. Represent us proudly. So good luck, and go Falcons.
At the Songwriters Festival, I think I need to note that people were starting to think when they saw Tom with a cowboy hat that it was actually Garth Brooks. And we had to get security, you know, very quickly around him and let them know it was not Garth. So now the Residence Hall, it really is great to see what has come about. And Randy, thank you for your appreciation of us as a board, and Julie Hewitt and Dr. DiAquino. We appreciate that, and it's truly an honor, really, to be part of this experience that we're bringing to our students. Speaking of Dr. DiAquino, for those of you that did not get to hear him read off the names of everybody, number one, thank you for putting my granddaughter first. And it was in my 8 years of serving on the board, this is the first time I ever had a very unique honor of being able to present the diploma to my granddaughter. And that was really a cool experience. And thank you, Dr. DiAquino. But also, too, I'm very concerned that we may lose Eric, because there may be some pro sports franchises out there looking for an announcer on the sidelines. I mean, it was like pro wrestling and pro basketball, NBA basketball, all rolled into one with Eric. So, but speaking of the trio presentation that we had during the workshop, though, and we all have a common thread amongst ourselves, and that is we recognize at the core of the opportunity for somebody who's in a low to moderate income position to get out of that and improve their lives is education, is the very core of it. And if we can provide that to them and give them, you know, take away as many of the barriers or the things that impede their progress and help them through that. And I was really glad we got to hear more about this program here today, because that it really enlightened me a little bit more about what was going on. And I consider myself pretty involved in the community, and I did not even realize to the extent what they were doing in Flagler County myself. So I'm going to take it upon myself to see how I can help further their progress, you know, not only in Flagler, but also throughout our community. So thank you for bringing that to us, Tom.
Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, just a little detour. You know, I was fortunate growing up to have a lot of good teachers, a lot of good coaches. And, you know, I think when there's an opportunity, 29 years at one location, the impact that you would have on people's lives, and then, you know, if you think about the multiple, back to the math equation, a math test here, about those people having impacts on impact on different people and direction. And so this quote I just want to share, effective leaders are first and foremost good teachers. We're in the education business. Congratulations.
And I want to thank Randy and his son Daniel for being our entrepreneurial speakers for the Gail Lemron series. It was a great job. Thank you for sharing your life experiences, and it was really good. A lot of great feedback, and so it was good to have the Randy and Daniel show here at the college. So thank you very much.
It's still going on, just in a different way right now.
Time I come on campus, this place is immaculate.
Yeah.
There's not trash in the parking lot. There's not trash in the elevators. There's never trash cans overflowing. And I think that helps provide an environment for people to want to come to work, students to want to come. So I just wanted to recognize that those people who make that happen. I'm tired of seeing trash on the side of the roads, but I know when I come here, going into the bathrooms, even at the Songwriters Festival, they were immaculate. And there were people in and out all the time. And it's those little things mm-hmm. that make people happy and a great environment to be in and work in. If there's a room left over in the dorms, I will take one as an escape. Use the vacation. And graduation, as I was sitting there, I was thinking selfishly, this is as much for myself as it is for these kids and these people to walk across. It's just so rewarding to see everyone walk across, everyone cheering for each other. Even the students cheered for each other. But, like, that wouldn't happen if we weren't here and if everybody else weren't here. It was just, I love graduation, selfishly. Thank you.
Bob.
Well, everything's been said in advance, but I want to go back to graduation and thank President Tom and his entire crew, all the speakers, and you and Betty, and, of course, all the rest. They were fantastic. But the people that I want to congratulate is Lynn and her crew. They fed us. They dressed us. They babied us. They listened to our old garbage stories. The only thing they didn't do was bathe us. But at any rate, thank you. Thank you. It was 14, 16 hours from 8:30 to 8:30. It was a long day. I know when I got home, I just dove right into bed, full clothes and all. There was but it was marvelous. And it's always great. And our speakers were fantastic. But the ladies, you made the day for us. You babied us. You listened to our garbage stories because we had nothing else to talk about. And of course, security and all the rest that let us in and out of the room. And how we, it was just marvelous. And I don't know, it's my 12th or 13th graduation, and they just get better and better and better. And to understand that 3,700 students graduated from Daytona State College, it's just amazing. When I tell people about it, they say, "Wah!" They say, "Wah!" But I'm so glad that it's 2:45 because the Mets play at 3:30, so thank you, Randy. It's right on my cell phone, ready to go.
You know, maybe we should go longer.
Yeah, I think so. Keep it going, Randy. Nobody likes a front runner. I just want you to know that.
Well, with that, I will thank you all and adjourn the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you.